Welcome back to Southeast Ohio's Outdoor Show. My co-host is Don Big Daddy Pegath. I'm Chuck Berry. Don, this has been a case that has lingered since like the 2014. But it looks like everything.
It ain't Stroh's, I can tell you that.
No.
Never linger around me that
It
long.
Wouldn't stay that long. Now I know what to get you for Christmas. So anyways.
One beer lover to another.
You know, Ohio has really went after if you commit a trophy crime.
Oh, my.
You're going to pay a trophy fine.
Better have deep pockets.
This will be the biggest one I've heard of so far. Just everything kind of finally got tidied up the end of, looks like October was the final. But again, it had been going on forever. There was court cases in, looks like February and in May of the year before, and it's nuts. Ready for the fine? One guy, $1.6 million in a deer trafficking case.
Mm.
So this guy from Georgia, we'll just call him Ben because that's his first name, he pled guilty and was sentenced in U.S. District Court of three charges related in violation of what's called the Lacey Act. He was ordered to pay $1.6 million in fines and restitution, the largest sum ordered to an individual for a wildlife crime in the United States of America.
That's a bunch of beans.
And then here's how they broke it down. $600,000 will be paid to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Wildlife Habitat Fund. $200,000 will go to the Federal Endangered Species Act. $400,000 goes to the Franklin County Metro Parks. $100,000 goes to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources TIP program, the Turn In a Poacher program.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on from there. But obviously, that's a big fine. Now, he wasn't alone. There was a couple other guys involved. And some of them saw fines in the neighborhood of $125,000. Plus, I think it looks like one guy got 200 hours of community service, and another guy was asked to do 150 hours of community service. Basically, what they were doing, though, is they were taking deer from what they called a preserve.
Mm-hmm.
And they were transporting them to Florida, Michigan, Alabama, Virginia, but they got caught taking them to Georgia.
Ooh.
So here's the thing, that the biggest tip I'd give you.
Don't go to Georgia.
When you take a large Ohio deer to Florida, it'll be obvious it was not from Florida.
Without a doubt.
Or Georgia.
Yeah. I hunted deer in Georgia when I was in the Army, and I'll tell you what. They're about the size of a German Shepherd.
Right. A lot of other people were involved. Basically, this Lacey Act is the unlawful importing and exporting and transportation sale of wildlife, fish, plants, or possession of transportation in violation across state line. And it's a federal law. So they're in trouble forever, basically, as far as the state's attorney is concerned here. But $1.6 million, the largest case in United States history for a wildlife offense.
That's a lot of money. Mucho dinero, man.
You know what? And I think he was making money, so that's why – that is in part why he was seeing the kind of fines he did. The one guy kept shipping deer to Florida from Ohio, and it was obvious to many people that these deer were not Florida local deer. and he could not certify that they were free of the chronic wasting disease. So when that was looked into, that's when all hands on deck kind of opened the investigation and kind of went from there. And that some of the deer they did take down there transferred the disease to cows.
Ouch.
Yeah. So
yeah, I can see bad moon rising.
And it basically said on another site I was looking at when I was investigating this that those charges are still pending because those were under the agriculture laws. So
the guy just violated a lot of things, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now he's going to feel what it feels like to be violated.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, a lot of hours. I mean, I think I read somewhere a total of 1,200 hours was put to this between court and investigation and, you know, prosecution and research and studies. And so when you look at that, that fine's probably a little low.
Well, you might say that, but $1.6 million isn't low to me.
Yeah. So, you know, while we're talking about that, Don, out and about, several different places that do check-ins and support the hunters and stuff like that. Boy, I'm hearing a little bit of everything.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm a little disgusted by some people's decision-making process today. First of all, hunters bring in a lot of revenue to the county.
Sure do.
A good amount.
Yes.
We want them all to come here, but we're cutting down some of their habitat unnecessarily, in my opinion. We're also leasing out their lands. Hey, I understand you want to make money, but that takes away some opportunity too. But there's still plenty of opportunity here. That's not the point. But they're dwindling year by year.
Quickly. Yes.
And so my point is, then we have those folks that do not believe there's any rules that pertain to them whatsoever.
No, it's for the other guy.
It's for the other guy. And just some of the stuff I heard this week has sickened me about some of the decisions people are making. Here's one of them. A gentleman got permission, had done some work on a piece of land, got permission from a landowner. He was aware that the opposite landowner, the neighbor, I guess is the best way to say it, wasn't super fond of the fact that there was going to be some hunting over there. Wasn't going to be done illegally. It was going to be done with permission and well away from their home and all that. That neighbor decided to chain dogs up in the woods as to where he would have to enter to go into his hunting spot. So that's called what, molesting the hunt or impeding the hunt. It is illegal here in Ohio.
Yes, it is.
You know, there was a church up in Delaware County that years ago took pans and hit the farm side, you know, the countryside, and started ringing pans and blowing horns and air horns and stuff. And those folks got in trouble and paid a fine. So if you're not for hunting, just leave it alone. You know what? I'm not for ice hockey. I think I would fall through the ice. So so I leave it alone. Do you see what I mean? I like watching other people do it, but –
yeah, you know, there's it bleeds over into so many other different things too, you know, and it's just
that's not the only thing I'm talking about. I've heard non-permission. I've heard you know, got to a spot that I was the only one to have permission. There was four trucks there, and one of someone checked in a deer that no way physically could they have ever hunted. It was obvious they weren't the one that got the deer. Not picking on anybody, but you know, it's if you get wheezed walking from here to the bathroom, you're probably not out walking your 230-acre farm and hunting your deer.
Yeah,
probably not happening.
So, I would say you're right there.
It just kind of disgusts me that some guys or some folks feel that they have to take advantage of already a more than fair system, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to throw a dart at the state though. It's time to probably go back to check-in stations.
I agree. I know they save money by doing it this way, and you know it's and their argument is, you know, if you're going to poach, you're going to be a poacher. You're still going to find a way to get around the system, but it kind of threw all the people that checked in at the, you know, that sold licenses and checked in deer, kind of threw them under the bus, because now I've taken away from some of their revenue.
Absolutely.
I mean, they come in to check in a deer, you know. There's a lot of people in there. I used to like to go to deer check-in stations there. Even if I was gassing up down at the Redhead station, people would say, I'd like to go over there and look at their deer and see, hey, how'd you do and all this stuff. And ask the people how many did you check in and stuff. If you recall years ago when we did the show.
That's what we did.
We used to go down to Green Acres and everything, check-in stations to see, you know, what the count is and everything. And And now
I remember
we
had all those stations call in with their numbers.
Yeah.
All those check-in points call in with their numbers. You know, this one had 800, this one had 300. I mean, and it was awesome because a lot of those, what was nice about traveling around and seeing some of those check-ins too is there's nothing that beats the smile of a little boy or little girl that maybe it's their first hunt and their first deer there, and it's everything to them.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And just getting to share that experience with them and see them happy and get to check their deer in and go through the process. But the money thing that they're talking about, the state, here's what I'm just not able to believe. I'm not able to believe that you save money by increasing the amount of time you have to do investigation and how much harder you have to work the investigation. Now, I will give the state this. They're catching more people putting crap on Facebook than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some dumb people. They break the law, and then they tell the world about it, you know. So
loose lips sink ships.
Keep that up, you know what I mean? But I can't believe the money that they're saving is – I mean, it's just hard for me to believe that they're not spending more money in the investigation process now because – it becomes all hearsay now, and we're probably not catching as many people. We're not finding as many people. And let's face it, what deters people from breaking the law is $1.6 million fines.
That deter me.
Yeah. Or quite honestly, you know, like we had a guy a few years ago with a trophy buck, he still had like a $15,000 fine.
Yeah, because they charge it by the inch.
Right. So my point is I really feel – and some of you have really come and told me the same thing that, hey, if we were hitting these guys with some of the fines for the crimes they're committing, probably would make up the difference in that money, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would think. It's, and the thing of it is,
guys' defense, here's the thing I know. I know our wildlife officer here, Don, his phone is full from morning to night. It just constantly gets messages on it.
Oh, I don't doubt that one
bit. And people say, well, he doesn't answer his phone. Well, quite honestly, he has to prioritize the ones that are right now situations and the ones that are maybe a medical emergency or one that's a violator he knows of that's done this so many times that it's really finally time to catch him. So kind of tough.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation sometimes. You know, they expect if you keep antlers, you know, you get a buck and you don't really have it mounted, but you just kind of crown it, you know, you cut the top of the skull off. The steel band lasts a lot longer than a piece of paper does.
You're right.
So with me, I believe the steel bands should come back.
Gotcha. And you know what? I think that some of the officers out there don't really get to be involved in that part of the decision-making process.
Oh, no, they don't. No.
And I think you would find that some of them were fine when they knew that check-in stations were probably going to be a great place to start to look for findable offenses as opposed to, okay, this guy just went online and whipped it in there, and a year from now we may figure out that he's – checked in 14 deer, so,
yeah,
you know, or some dumb thing like that, or everybody in his family's maxed out, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, well, folks, if you got any questions or comments for us, feel free to give us a call at 740-891-9103. You're listening to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show here on Highway 103.